girl, welcome to the Empower Her podcast, where we are all about taking purpose-driven action toward building lives we really freaking love. My name's Keisha, and I'm an entrepreneur obsessed with giving you actual tools to help take you from where you are now to where you want to go in your life, career, and relationships. And this podcast, it's all about real talk and having some fun as we share incredible stories, tips, and tricks to help us get out of our own way and unapologetically make some moves. So girlfriend, let's do the damn thing. What's up, girl? I'm so excited that you're here for today's episode because we're diving into a topic that I'm so passionate about and love talking about, but have never shared in a lot of detail here on Empower Her podcast. That is unmedicated childbirth. And here's the thing. At the time that I'm recording this, our son Brody is 4.5 months old, and I've had a lot of you that have reached out to me wanting to hear more about the tactical side of things, like specific tips that help support me to have an unmedicated birth. And I told myself the story of like, well, it's not going to be applicable to the whole audience that listens into Empower Her. So like maybe I'll record a bonus episode at some point. But truth of the matter is, I love this topic. And I also really love being a representation of something that's often not represented, which is I had a really awesome pregnancy. You don't hear people talk about loving pregnancy, but I really did love it. Of course, there were hard times. Of course, there were emotional times. Of course, your hormones are raging. But I really did love that experience. And I also really loved childbirth. And there are even less people that say that they love childbirth. But how would you know that that's a possibility for you to love it, even if it's unmedicated, if you never hear people talking about their stories? So it's really important to me to talk about this on the podcast because maybe you clicked on this title because you are preparing for an unmedicated birth yourself, whether you've had a birth before or this is your first time as a new mom. I'm a brand new mom too, 4.5 month old, like I said, and this was my first birth experience. Or maybe you have a girlfriend or a sister or, I don't know, a coworker that's interested in unmedicated birth. Or maybe you're just someone that's like, I love learning about new topics. Love that. So what I want to do with today's episode is share my personal experience. I don't come from a medical background. I'm not going to be sharing things like this amount of like ounces of anything or like this is the type of drug or whatever. I'm not going to get into all of that. I'm just going to share my personal experience that I think will equip you with more tools in your toolbox to set yourself up or to support your friends that might want this type of experience because it is absolutely possible for you. If I can do it, why can't you do it? And again, I want to just disclaimer that I have no medical background, right? So of course, consult with your OB, talk to your doctors, but I'm going to share with you my personal experience and some tactical things that I think could be really helpful and supportive for you. And we're just going to dive into the juice. So first step, if you're thinking about an unmedicated birth, number one, I want you to just believe that it's possible. Because honestly, when you think about all of the information that we're inundated with, like in the media, on social media, movies, like if you actually picture, if you just stop right now and you picture the first image that comes to mind when you think of how childbirth is depicted in movies, it's probably something really intense. Like for me, what I picture in my head as a woman who's laying on her back in the hospital in one of those robes that is screaming bloody murder with like sweat dripping down her face, and she's probably like yelling something at her husband, right? That's literally what I'm picturing. I actually pictured the scene of like Knocked Up with Katherine Heigl where she's like, ah! And I'm not saying that that wouldn't be your experience, and I'm not saying that people can't have that experience, but I'm saying that was definitely not my experience. But that's what we're told. Like that's what we're inundated with. So of course, that's what we think. So we are scared of childbirth in general, and we're definitely scared of unmedicated childbirth. And I think that's just part of our culture. So number one, I want you to really believe that it's possible. But in order for you to believe that it's possible, you have to recognize that you have been inundated with information that's telling you that that's not possible for you. But also, maybe you, like me, are not educated enough about how your body actually works. Because it's interesting. I learned a lot about hormones when I wanted to get my periods like very regular because they were irregular. I had gotten off hormonal birth control and I wanted to get my periods regular because I knew in the next like couple of years that we'd want to try for a baby. And I, you know, learned that at the time that I needed to learn it, just like I learned about childbirth when I was actually pregnant. In fact, my husband, Sina, and I took this course that I highly recommend. I don't have a discount code for you. I'm not affiliated with this course in any way, but it was called Built to Birth. She also has a YouTube channel. She posts content on Instagram. She's a mom herself and a doula. And she's like a very natural, crunchy kind of girl. Like I use crunchy like with a positive connotation to it. And I learned so much about my body and like how my body was literally built to birth. And it's interesting because, you know, if you're listening into this and you live in the US, like there are so many other countries where medicated births are like not even a thing. It's not an option for them. Yet they're bringing babies into the world, right? There are billions of people on this planet. And there are so many people that have had unmedicated births, but you're just not hearing those stories. And it's just becoming so much more popular to get induced, to get medication, to get epidurals. And again, I'm not saying that that's wrong. What's right for you is right for you. There's no right or wrong way to do this. You know, on this podcast, I'm not about prescriptive advice. I'm about sharing my experience in hopes to have that inspire you if it's inspiring for you, or for it to say like, nope, that's not for me, and you to move on with your life, whatever, right? But I truly do think that getting educated on what your body is capable of and understanding like how your body actually functions was so helpful. And it was really helpful for me that I did the course, but also that my husband, Sina, who was going to be in the room when our son was born, did the course with me. So we both had this solid understanding that in the, you know, he could be really helpful and supportive for me because he believed that my body was capable of doing this. And again, always, you're consulting with your doctors. You're not using what I'm saying here as like your prescriptive advice. If your doctor's telling you that there's safety or complications when you're giving birth, I'm just sharing again my experience that getting educated and finding someone that's aligned with you in terms of like how they teach and the births that they've had. Like, I loved the woman that created this course because she was a doula. So she had so many stories that she could share of people that had gone through the type of curriculum that she taught. So highly recommend that course and that YouTube channel. So that's first, is believe that it's possible, understanding that of course you've been inundated with so much information that's scary over the years that you might not believe that it's possible to, number one, love childbirth, let alone love unmedicated childbirth. And then getting educated to support yourself can be so huge. So that's number one. Number two, I think it's so helpful, especially when you get toward the end of your pregnancy, to craft an environment that's supportive of the birth experience that you want to have. Because everybody and their cousin has got an opinion. Any moms in your life, girlfriends, coworkers, family, your own mom, like whatever their experience is, they're going to love telling you about their experience, but it might not be aligned with the experience that you want to have. And just because they had that experience doesn't mean that you're going to have that experience. My mom and I had very different births. So even when your mom's telling you you're going to have it like me, because this is what it was like for us, like my mom and I had extremely different births, and that's okay, right? Everybody gets to have their own experience. And all ways that babies are brought into the world is beautiful, but you're listening to this podcast because you're interested in hearing about an unmedicated version of this. And what's really, really helpful to think about is how important it is of a job that you have to curate that environment that's supportive for you. And especially if you happen to be someone who shares on social media, I had no idea until I got pregnant, and especially after becoming a mom, how many people have something to say about your plan. Not everybody needs to know your birth plan, right? If you know that someone's going to give you pushback because you want to do this unmedicated and they're going to tell you that you're crazy, or why would you ever do that? Or like medicine was created for a reason, or whatever they want to tell you, that's great for them, right? Everybody has their choice to do what they want to do with their birth, with their body. You get to choose what you want, but that means you don't have to tell everybody what your birth plan is, right? I was actually really intentional about not sharing on the podcast prior to me having Brody what I wanted with my birth plan. I didn't talk a lot about it on social media. I wasn't like super detailed about what I wanted because I just didn't want to deal with the feedback. And that's okay to protect your space and curate an environment in your head, because you're going to need to rely on yourself when you're having this unmedicated birth. So do that proactively, especially toward the end of your pregnancy. I would even, like, my advice would be to be intentional about the women that you're talking to about their experiences in general. I didn't talk to any of my girlfriends that had traumatic birth experiences. Even one of my girlfriends that had a baby a few months before me, I knew that she didn't have the best experience in terms of like a lot of things, a lot of complications happened. Obviously, she had the best experience because she had a baby at the end, but she had a lot of complications. So I purposely didn't ask her about her birth story until after our son Brody was born, because I just didn't even want that in the back of my head. There's enough fear about like what childbirth will be like that we've been inundated, like I said, from an early age, that you want to take control over curating an environment that's supportive to you. That was huge for me. And then from that, number three is build your confidence. And I'll tell you, our son Brody was born 6 days after his due date. And on his due date, we went into the clinic, like the OB clinic that I went to. We didn't see my normal OBs who were super on board with my birth plan, which that's another thing in itself is like telling your OBs your birth plan to make sure that you pick the right OB. Because if they're going to try and guide you in a direction that you don't want to go, or they don't understand your desire for the birth plan that you have, like that's going to be really difficult if you constantly feel like you're battling. So don't be afraid to change doctors, right? But I had two OBs that understood that I saw regularly throughout my pregnancy that had the potential of delivering our son, that really understood my birth plan. But the day that his due date was, I went in for a checkup and I saw a PA who was not my normal OB. And she was very, very adamant that going past my due date was, which keep in mind, a due date is completely arbitrary. Like it's literally a made up guess date. But going past my due date was going to be really problematic. Like she threw out things like stillbirth and words like he's going to be too big. You're going to have a C-section, like things that were really scary to hear as a first time mom. And I don't want to get into all of the details about that, but she said stuff like that, that if I went past my due date, that that was what I was going to potentially have to run into. And it was so hard to hear that. In fact, my husband and I went back to our car after that appointment and I just started sobbing. And I said to him, I was like, if I go into labor tonight, I don't know if mentally I can do this because I'm so shooken up by what this PA just told me, right? And you know, she is a textbook type of doctor that was just like wanting to cover her bases of telling me what complications could be. I don't fault her, but I really did know that my job was my confidence too, right? Because number one is believing that it's possible and getting yourself educated. Number two is creating an environment that's supportive for you. But there are some times along the way, like I'm talking about with number three, where you're gonna have to build up your confidence and it can be really shattered when you're really hormonal. And especially if you're a first-time mom, like that was really hard for me because I really wanted to stick to what I intuitively felt was right for me, which was that we were gonna go past our due date. I didn't know that we were gonna go 6 days past our due date, but I really didn't want to be induced. I really wanted, you know, I felt like my first decision as a new mom is I wanted to give our son the time to come when he wanted to come. And I had a deadline in my head that we had talked with our OBs about that if he didn't come by a certain date, that I was comfortable getting induced because I didn't want to risk me or him, but I wanted to give him more time. And so what I had to do, number three, was like really focus on building confidence. I was like, what are the tiny little things that I can do right now to help me build up confidence? So I went back to listening to positive birth stories. I would go on walks and I would verbally process things to my husband. Like I literally went on so many walks during the end of my pregnancy, especially when I was past my due date. I would try and do things to make it fun. Like I literally at one point painted my belly with paint and like recorded like a music video because I was like, I just need to build up my confidence and I need to make this feel lighter because it was starting to feel really stressful towards the end when I went past my due date. And it was really important to me to stick to my guns on what I wanted my birth experience to be like. So along the way, don't forget that you have an opportunity to build confidence and it can be with tiny little things. I talk about this often on the podcast of like how important it is to build confidence in yourself by doing those tiny little things that are easy to do, but are also easy not to do. But this happens in any season of life. And this was so important for me with an unmedicated birth that I felt confident in myself and in my decision-making. And I believed that it was possible. So whether it was like, okay, I'm going to drink 100 ounces of water, or I'm going to go for a 15-minute walk, or I'm going to pump myself up with positive, like, you know, mindset things. I'm going to listen to good podcasts. I'm going to have good conversations with people that have had unmedicated births. Like I'm going to do whatever I could do to pump myself up because my number one job was taking care of my health, but also just getting my mindset right. Because at any point in time, I could literally go into labor, right? Because you never know when it's going to happen. So I think that's another thing that I think is really helpful that's not tactical in terms of like, what did I actually do? But it was really just building up my confidence bucket because I just never knew when it was going to happen. Just like none of us know when we're going to go into labor, right? And then from a tactical perspective, number four is kind of like some tactical things that I did. I did curb walking, which is where you like have like one foot on the curb and one foot on the ground. I was told that this might help position the baby's head to get like into your pelvis deeper, right? There's not a ton of science that supports this, but I feel like it worked because my baby came out with a few pushes. So like, I do really think that this was helpful for me. I also, even if it was a placebo effect, it's still helpful. Cause again, number three is building confidence. I felt like if I walked some stairs and I did curb walking, that it would help position the baby, that the experience would be better. So I was building up my confidence by doing these things. So it doesn't even matter for people that want to come at me and be like, curb walking doesn't help or stairs don't help. I didn't care. Because I was doing this to support myself. Because remember, your job is your mindset and your body going into it. I also drank raspberry leaf tea and I had 6 dates a day, right? So Google that for like the science behind that. Like I said, I'm not a medical professional, but I had seen some people that had had unmedicated births talk about this. And I was like, I'm going to do this. I don't care if it's an old wives' tale. I'm doing this. And be careful about who you're asking for advice about what to actually do to support a birth in terms of you going into labor. But those were the things that I did from a tactical perspective is I curb walked, had raspberry leaf tea, dates. I drank a ton of water. And then another thing that I did that really helped build my confidence to go into this was every night I told my husband I wanted to have a super nutritious, fuel my body type of dinner. So the night that we went into labor was a Wednesday. We had two of our best friends, Chantel and Tyler, at our house. And my husband was like in this phase where he was preparing to be a dad. So he got a grill. He got a leaf blower. And like he was in this burger phase where he was starting to make like burger patties. And I was like, babe, we got to have burgers with like juicy buns. And I think I said like sweet potato fries for dinner. Like I want to have like a hefty meal because I might go into labor tonight. Ironically, I did go into labor that night. So the last meal that I had was a gigantic, juicy burger. And it was super healthy, great meal that I felt super fueled going into labor. So that was another thing that I did. Like every night I started to focus on having really nutritious dinners because I had read, because you know, when you're pregnant, you start Googling all this random stuff, right? Be careful about the Google spiral. But what I did Google is majority of people go into labor at night. So I was preparing every night, like full skincare routine, like moisturizing my face. I was doing my hair wash shower. So I felt like my hair would be ready for labor. And I was eating like a juicy meal every night. Again, I told you, I don't have a medical background. When you listened into this episode, if you listen to Empower Her, like, you know, I'm going to give you my take on this. So that was actually really helpful. And when we have baby number two, I'm doing the same thing again, because I do think that that meal really like gave me the stamina to push all the way through. Because after dinner, my contractions started around, like I had a couple contractions while our friends were over for dinner, but then they started getting more aggressive. And we had an app on our phone that timed contractions. And we wanted to labor at home as much as possible because I knew, so we birthed Brody at a hospital. And I knew going to a hospital environment, there was less that I could control than I could control at home. And not from this, like, I want to have everything go exactly according to plan, but more so because I knew just from listening to other people's stories and from understanding the medical system in general, that there was going to be more opportunity for them to give me medication or for them to tell me that I'm not making progress at the rate that they want me to be making progress. And I just wanted to do it as much as home as possible. So that's a tip in itself from a tactical perspective is labor at home as much as possible. We waited until my contractions were about 4.5 minutes apart we actually waited about 1.5 hours. We were timing them in an app. I actually started season one of Gossip Girl, episode one, when I was in labor and I was just like working through those contractions. I had a medicine ball. I had one of those like peanut balls. Especially like the last maybe 38 weeks and after, I would bounce on that medicine ball like every single night while I was curb walking. And I was going on so many walks, but in particular at the time that my contractions were actually happening, I was bouncing on the ball. I would lean over the ball to stretch on it. So get yourself one of those gigantic stability balls and bring it with you to the hospital. That was game changer for me. So, so, so helpful just to have that like leading up to it. So we waited until our contractions were about 4 to 5 minutes apart for, I think it was about 1.5 to 2 hours that they got to that point that we decided to go in. So we checked into the hospital at 2 a.m. and they put us in a room that was like an intake room. So it had a really hard bed And, you know, it was cold and it was actually by an elevator, so it was super noisy. It was not the best environment to feel like I could birth a baby in the way that I wanted to birth it. But I mean, my contractions were like stacked on top of each other, but I wasn't dilated enough for us to actually go and get admitted into a room. And so one of the things that was really important, that's like probably the most crucial tip that I can give you, besides building confidence in yourself, believing it's possible, getting educated, is your birth partner, which for me was my husband, Sina, like having them be an advocate for you in the hospital setting was hugely impactful. So I had learned a lot through this Built to Birth course about the necessity to stay in my primal brain and just focus on delivering this baby. Every time that someone, you know, that's a nurse or a doctor or a resident or whatever is going to tell you something about whatever it is that you're going through at that point with your, like with your birth or your labor, that's going to like set you off course, right? Because you're not in that primal mode. You're answering questions that are more on the other side of your brain, like the analytical part of your brain. So because my husband, Sina, was educated through this course with me, and like we were both really on the same plan of like, we really wanted to do this unmedicated and we wanted to do this together. He was the person that was talking to all of the medical professionals. I did not talk to any nurse, or like I really didn't talk to anyone until after Brody was born. Like I was purposely trying not to communicate with anyone. And that sounds really weird, especially if we've been connected for a while and you know my personality. I'm so outgoing. I'm like, want to talk to everybody. I want to hear their stories. But I knew that it was really important for me to stay in that primal brain. And so we had a game plan going into this of like, this is what we wanted. We had a printed birth plan. I did not want Pitocin. I did not want any sort of like I didn't want to be stuck to a bed. I wanted to labor in the bathtub. Like we had a lot of like things that we had listed out that I in particular wanted. Girl, I'm so excited to share this with you because I figure if you're listening into a podcast episode about unmedicated childbirth, you might also love non-toxic products. And I've talked on the podcast as well as on social media about my favorite skincare line, ClearStem. I've been using them for almost 6 years. They are non-toxic with no hormone disruptors, anti-acne, anti-aging, and all of that sounds like a mouthful, but really like they're really good quality products without all the crap in them. I use their face wash. I use their scrub. I use their serums. And then, oh my gosh, my favorite thing ever is their moisturizer, their Hydra Berry moisturizer. Because, you know, I'm waking up in the middle of the night a lot because we have a 4.5 month old. But at least when I go to bed at night, I do my full skincare routine and I end with the Hydra Berry moisturizer and I wake up and my skin feels like a baby butt smooth. But what I'm really excited to share with you too, in addition to their amazing skincare products, is they just came out with a 100% acne safe luxury hair care line. So restorative shampoo and repair conditioner, but just like all of their non-toxic products in terms of their skincare line, their hair care line also is non-toxic with zero pore cloggers. And I'm really excited about this because sometimes the non-toxic shampoos, if you've tried some of them, they leave your hair feeling really flat or like kind of greasy and stringy or like crusty. And honestly, like I get a lot of crap in my hair these days as a new mom, but I want skincare that's awesome and non-toxic, but I also want hair care that gets the dirt out of my hair, but still makes it moisturized and have a lot of volume. So that's exactly what this luxury hair care line that ClearStem just created is all about. So as always, as a listener of the show, if you use code Keisha, it's going to save you a sweet discount. You can also just click the link in the show notes to check it out. But oh my gosh, I'm so excited. If you snag their skincare or if you snag their new hair care products, slide into my DMs or send me a text. Let me know because you know I always love to hear when you're vibing with the things that I'm vibing with. Again, you can go to clearstemskincare.com, use code Keisha, K-A-C-I-A, to save a sweet discount on all products and their new hair care line. All right, without further ado, let's dive back into the show. And the main thing being, I did not want to be medicated in any way until it was absolute dire need. If that was like the safety of me or the baby was actually at risk, then that was when I wanted them to step in. But I wanted to really just go through this experience and have this unmedicated experience with my husband coaching me through it and being the one that was talking to all the doctors and nurses. So honestly, having this unmedicated birth would not have been possible had I not had my husband as an advocate for me. And if you don't have that type of relationship dynamic with your significant other, then I would highly encourage you to look into getting a doula. We personally didn't because I wanted that experience for it to be just us. And I felt like, you know, my husband comes a little bit from a medical background in that he was a dentist and he was like really adamant about supporting me in whatever way that he could. And the best way that he could support me was just to get like the knowledge with me and then support me through any decisions that needed to be made by like being the voice for our little team, for our little family. So again, if you don't have a relationship like that with your significant other, I would highly recommend bringing in a doula. Or if you happen to be the person who really has an understanding of your body, like one of my girlfriends that is a PA, another one of my girlfriends that's a nurse, I'm like, you might be someone who you need to get a doula because you're going to feel like you know too much of what's going on, that you're going to get in your own head, that you can't stay in your primal mode. So know yourself and know what type of team you need. And again, if you buy that Built to Birth course that I mentioned as like number one of getting yourself educated, she talks a lot about this and details of like how to map out what your birth plan is. And I'm not going to get into the details of my specific birth plan, but I will tell you, I really wanted this to be unmedicated and I wanted to labor in a bathtub, which is one of the reasons why we chose the hospital that we did, is because I thought that that would be a really cool experience. I didn't personally want to birth him into water, but I wanted to labor in a bathtub. So back to being checked in, right? So we were checked in and there was a resident there that was telling us that we couldn't get checked into a room because I wasn't dilated enough to get checked in unless I was willing to get Pitocin. Remember, I at this point was not communicating with anyone. Like I wasn't talking to the nurses or the doctors. My husband, Sina, was. And my husband was advocating for me saying like, hey, you know, like we need to get her checked into a room because if she's in a more calm environment, I think this is going to go more quickly. Like he just knows me. We've been together for 15 years. He was like, just get her into this place where she can just stay in this primal mode. This room is not working. And I don't want to leave with her and have her have like a baby in the car, right? So there is a little bit like, our experience, again, everyone's experience is different, but our experience at a hospital setting is like we did have to push back a little bit to have the type of experience that we wanted. And so what ended up happening is the nurse that we had with us was like, just tell the resident that you're open to Pitocin, even though we did not want to do Pitocin to start the labor unless we absolutely had to for the safety of our child or for me, which didn't end up being the case. But we ended up telling the resident like, okay, we would potentially be interested in Pitocin in the future. So can you get me checked into the room? We weren't planning on doing it for honestly, probably like 48 hours, but whatever. We were eventually interested, but we knew once we got checked into the room that they weren't going to check us out. And we were just afraid to leave because my contractions were every 4 minutes. And I have a really high physical pain tolerance. And I was like, these are working me. So we just didn't feel comfortable with me leaving. So we got checked into the room, went into the bathtub. I personally did have an IV and I was like hooked up to one of those like mobile things. Like I don't even know the IV poles that are mobile, but I went straight into the bathtub and that's where I had contractions. And one of the things that I would tell you proactively to do is have two playlists on Spotify. Like I had a hype playlist, which was going to be for like pushing the baby out, like go get it, you know, like shake it like a salt shaker and like, oh, push it, like those type of songs. But then also you're in a state where you need to actually be really relaxed for like relaxed as you can be while you're like working through contractions. So I'd recommend that you also have like a more calm playlist, and you're actually going to need that playlist even more than the hype playlist. And to be honest, I had both of those playlists, but my personal experience was we actually didn't use them. I was in the bathtub. It was completely dark in there and I was just working through contractions as they started stacking. And we had a gigantic water bottle. It was one of, if you happen to go to Empower Her Live, it was like our big Stanley Cup knockoff that I had that says like, do the damn thing on it. And I had a water bottle and my husband, I would just say water and he'd pass the water to me like I was like a boxer in the ring. I'd drink out of the straw like, and then I'd pass it back to him. And that was basically the amount that we were talking. He was going into this coach mode of like, you can do this. Like, you know, like you're capable, like just kind of like coach mode, right? Like a football coach. And then he'd go into this like sweet husband mode of like, I'm so proud of you. You're doing a great job. I can't wait to meet Brody. And like, you know, like he was alternating between those. And then sometimes it would just be silent because I was just working through the contractions. What I was saying mentally to myself was like, you're built for this. You've got this. You're going to be so proud of yourself when you're done. I think like the built for this was such a good affirmation for me that I said over and over and over again in my head. And I think that's really powerful to have something that you're going to say to yourself and also to have a really strong reason why you're doing this. It was important to me to prove to myself that I could do this. It was important for me and my husband to have this experience together. And I just really, really cared about proving to myself that I could do this. Of course, the caveat to that is if the safety of myself or our baby was at risk, I would have been willing to throw the game plan out the door. And I think that's where like sometimes we can tightly hold on to this game plan of how we want things to go. But there are certain situations, which I personally didn't experience, but like where we do have to say, hold on, like the safety of my baby is at risk now, or I can't continue on. But knowing like what that limit is for you, because it is difficult, but that's also why I was so freaking proud of myself on the other end of it, because I worked through these contractions and after laboring in the bathtub for a few hours, that was super intense. It was like equivalent of, I don't even know, like running a couple marathons. Like it was intense. But what I kept also reminding myself is like there's breaks in between the contractions. Like it's intense and then you breathe and you just keep breathing through it. And like you're just reminding yourself, like, I'm built for this. You're not unique. You're not the first person who's ever had a baby. Like even telling myself that was really helpful in a very supportive way. After we moved from the bathtub to the bed, I gave birth after 4 pushes. The doctor was almost not even in the room, which was so wild. So I think from that, like, I guess the tip that I'd want to share there is like having a game plan, but knowing that the game plan can change, but also having a strong why behind your game plan. Because like, I knew why I wanted to have an unmedicated birth. I'm someone who loves to have like the full experience of life, including even like the really hard things. So I was like, if it's possible for me from a safety perspective to have this experience of having childbirth, I know on the other end of this, I'm going to feel like I can literally do anything. I have never had a high like when they put Brody on my chest and I had felt everything that had happened up to that point and he was on my chest and I was like, I can't believe I did it. In fact, the first thing that I said to my husband was, we effing did it. Like I was so proud of me. I was so proud of him. I was so proud of us. I was so excited. I just felt like it was like this experience that like I was proud of Brody, like even though obviously he didn't know what was going on. He was just getting himself out of the womb. And I loved it. Like I've never been more proud of myself. So number 5 on that, right, is like having a game plan, but knowing that the game plan can change. But one of the most important parts of my game plan was, what do I need to do to stay in my primal mode so that I don't have to answer a lot of questions, so that I can really just stay focused on the task at hand, which was birthing our baby. And he was born on November 9th. So at the time that I'm recording this, about 4.5 months ago. And honestly, when we, you know, hopefully we're able to have number 2 and in the near future here, and I would love to have the same experience again. Like I 100% would do it again, exactly how I did it, because I loved it so much. So those are some of the tactical things that I wanted to share. So to recap and tie this up in a bow, number 1, believing in that it's possible, being aware of the fact that we're constantly inundated with negative propaganda about childbirth. So there's nothing wrong with you if you're scared. It's just because we've been like primed to think that it's supposed to be scary. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be miserable. But you can have another story. You have to believe that that's possible, and educating yourself on how the body actually works, not just what you're seeing in mainstream media or what your friend or your sister or your mom is telling you, but like how your body actually works. Like you are built to do this. Like you can do this. And that course, like I said, Built to Birth, was really helpful for me. Also check out her YouTube channel. Love, love, loved it. Number 2, crafting an environment that's supportive. Again, be conscious of who actually knows your birth plan. Not everybody needs to know your birth plan. You don't need to hear everybody and their cousins' ideas of what birth should be like constantly projected onto you, or having to feel like you're defending yourself. Like, let some people know, or don't let anyone know. That's totally cool too. Number 3, build your confidence prior. Like I mentioned to you with that story of the PA, like it really knocked at my confidence, which gave me this strong reminder of like, what are the tiny little things that I can do to keep promises to myself so I can go in mentally really tough and ready for battle. Like that's what I felt like, where I'm like, I'm going to go in and I'm going to crush this. And I like had to be my own hype girl, which is because I had to be my own hype girl in the most massive way I ever have in my life. It's also why on the other end of this, I was so proud of myself, more proud than I've ever been in my whole life. And then from a tactical perspective, like I mentioned, I did curb walking, raspberry leaf tea, dates, a ton of water. Every single night in particular, I always wanted to fuel myself really well. We had a printed copy of the birth plan that we actually really educated our OBs on along the way, although I didn't even have my OB deliver the baby, which I should also add in there. I was really worried about who's going to deliver the baby. The doctor that delivered the baby was in there for like such a short amount of time. So don't get too worried or caught up in that. At least from my experience, it really didn't matter that much. And then having a playlist, a hype and a calm playlist could be great. Oh, another thing I forgot to mention is we have a dog, a proactive plan for the dog. So it's one less thing to worry about. We had our friends come pick our dog up in the middle of the night. They knew that when we texted them, like, come get her. That was really helpful. And then finally, number five, a game plan, knowing that the plan can change. For me, the most important part of my game plan was, what do we need to do to support me staying in my primal mode? And that meant that my husband needed to be educated and could be an advocate for me. If you don't have that type of relationship with your significant other, I would highly recommend bringing in a doula. So I hope this episode was helpful for you and more tactical, like a lot of you asked for. Of course, let me know. I'm putting this on YouTube too. So drop a comment below or shoot me a DM and let me know what you thought. And good luck to you if you are having an unmedicated birth. Like, feel free to slide into my DMs because this is something that I really, really do love talking about. So let me know what you think and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you love this episode, it would mean so much to me if you shared it with a girlfriend. Like, send it to her right now or post it on social media and tag me so I can personally thank you for helping me get the message out. I am so freaking grateful to be on this journey with you, girl. So until next time, I'll talk to you soon.